It's the Thursday afternoon show. I'm Debbie Mayer, and I'm here with...
I'm Ellen Thurston. Today, we have Bob Brasner in the studio with us, and he's going to be talking about the Ghostly Gallop. The summer months, I think September is a summer month this year, is going so quickly. Halloween's going to be here at any minute,
I think.
So, Bob, you're filling in for...
Gary Scheffer.
Gary Scheffer is now the race director?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's a position that you held some time ago, I think.
For the last 2 years.
For the last 2 years.
Right. I came to the event... for the 2015 event.
Oh, I thought it was further back than that.
Time flies.
Well, you made a fair number of changes in how the race works, did you not?
I did. It's important to note that before I came to the event, it had been running successfully for 15 years. A group of volunteers that had kept it together through some very good years, through some years that were difficult, they kept the event going. And it became really a tradition here in town. It's the only organized athletic event for the entire community in Hudson.
Right. Unless you call a winter walk, if people walk the entire mile and back, that's kind of an athletic event.
That is an athletic event, isn't it?
Yes.
Feels like it anyway. Mm-hmm. We should tell people right off the bat that this is a fundraiser for the Hudson Area Library and has been for, well, since the year 2000.
It was originated that way.
Yeah.
When they asked me to participate in management of the event, I came to it with some experience at organizing events like this. And I brought in just some changes that I thought would attract more participants. So we had USA Track and Field accurately measure a course. We took the runners off of Warren Street for safety purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And we hired professional timers. And now for 2 years, we've had the better part of 300 participants come along. So it's pretty inspiring to see this happening, to be honest with you. It's a build it and they will come story.
You know,
definitely.
It seemed to me that the Ghostly Gallop, as I recall it, when it was, you know, right in kind of in the heart of Hudson,
right,
was done at night. Am I wrong about that?
I'm sorry, at night?
That's what I'm asking. What Debbie, said. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. It could be, but ask Bob.
I worked on the event starting 6 years ago as a course marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But those were Sunday morning events.
That's right.
The course at that point ran down State Street, across Front, up Union Street, then down Warren Street. And I was stationed at Warren and Worth. Mm-hmm. And I'd see families, kids, youngsters, oldsters start to wind their way through the traffic on Warren Street and thinking, we could do better than this.
They didn't close, they didn't stop traffic at that point.
Traffic was not stopped at all.
Oh, really?
So one of the first things we did was take the course off of Warren Street. So now it starts and ends at the high school,
mm-hmm,
where there's a lot of parking for participants. So it makes it easier for participants to get there. And prior to now, we've closed off a portion of the course that would have been Harry Howard when the runners are on Harry Howard. This will be the first year where the whole course will be closed for about an hour. So it really makes it much safer for everybody, mm-hmm, and kind of fun for the people along the course to come out on their porches and throw confetti and cheer the runners
on. Right. Do they run out with water bottles or anything like that?
Well, that would be good. I like that idea, but it hasn't happened thus far.
Right.
Do you have water stations?
There'll be two water stations.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly runners need that. So the first water station is right at Oakdale Park,
mm-hmm.
Right across from the entrance there. Then the other one will be as the runners come across Short Street to Harry Howard, at the base of Harry Howard there, and mm-hmm. start up the hill. There'll be a spot along there.
Well, as I recall also, it's always been a costume event, sort of related to Halloween.
I think in its beginnings and early years, it was a costume event. And we didn't do that for the last 2 years, but that's definitely in this year. And there'll mm-hmm. be prizes for best costumes. So we're really encouraging people, from kids to serious runners to the walkers, to put on their Halloween finery and let us guess who they are.
Do they, if a witch came along on her broomstick, would that be acceptable?
I'm thinking we could include broomsticks as a competitive tool here.
Are there any male witches? It's always the witch, she. Debbie,
well,
do you know?
Male witches are warlocks.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We could have Ichabod Crane on a horseback, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true.
Interestingly, in mentioning women's costumes, men's costumes, I looked at the registration numbers this morning, and women are registering right now, of all registrants, two-thirds are women.
Wow.
Two-thirds female registrants.
How interesting.
One-third male registrants.
Huh.
So there's some little bit of competition to be brought about here, right?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing in that all of us can think back at a time when women were neither encouraged in any way to participate in things like this. And in many of these events, they lead the way now. And that's really good to see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
definitely.
How is the money raised through this race? Is it do participants pay to register?
Yes, there's two ways money is raised. We've aggressively sought sponsorships, and the goal of the sponsorships is if at all possible, offset the cost of doing the event. It is a costly event to put on. We provide insurance to the school system, insurance to the city. We try to have a safe course. We pay to have it measured and pay to have it timed. So we try to have sponsors offset all of that cost, and then have all runners' fees go to the library.
I see.
And in the past 2 years, the event has its gross revenue from all sources was around $18,000 to $20,000.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Yeah, good.
It is good. What else is new this year in the race?
Something that many races do, that this will be the first year, and we always got this question from serious runners, is their prize money. And many serious runners are keenly interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they can make a living at it. It's just a source of pride, and maybe they run a bit harder. So there will be cash prizes for the top three finishers, men and women.
Mm-hmm. Great. And are there teams also?
Yes. We already have teams signing up. There will be an award for the fastest teams. The way you do that is take the times of all the team members and average them.
Oh.
So you could get some very fast runners on your team and some slower runners, but it's the average time for the team.
Yeah, I was thinking, how do you keep your team together to all come in at the same time?
Well, that's not necessary.
Right.
You could do that, but every runner or walker will wear a timing chip. So as those chips come across the finish line, the timers will know, here's the times of this team. So whether somebody set the new record, the record on the course is just over 18 minutes, and somebody went the slowest, you'd average all those times.
I see.
That's the glory of having electronic timing all fed into a computer.
Oh, my goodness, a timing chip.
Yeah, really.
That is pretty fancy.
It's tied to your shoe.
Oh.
Ah.
So as you come across them, as you start and finish, it recognizes you right away.
Huh. How interesting. So it's not like a microchip. My dog just got microchipped between her shoulder blades.
We haven't microchipped the runners
no.
yet.
No. Okay, good.
That may be coming.
Yeah. Really.
My cats were microchipped, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that they were microchipped, which I thought was quite audacious of the place where I picked them up. But anyway, they come home at night. That's the important thing.
Right, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They come at the hardest where the food is with a cat. So, the teams, that's really interesting. And the children's race, has that happened before?
Yes.
The adults?
In prior to my involvement as the race director, the race was organized so the adults ran the 5K or walked, and then the children did a one-mile race. So I tried to use my experience on this from my sport wasn't running. It was bicycle racing. And in events like that, you had the slower people go off first. So when they returned to the finish line, the more experienced people were there cheering them on. And I thought that was a nice change to put in here. I wanted the youngsters to come into the finish with 200 or 300 adults there ready for their event, cheering them on. So the youngsters will do a one-mile event that kicks off at 11, I believe, and then the adult race, or anyone running the 5K time, kicks off a half hour later. It's when I first did this, one of my sons, who's a serious runner, said to me, Dad, I just did a marathon. You might want to consider this. The organizer for that event stood at the finish line and shook the hand of every runner. I thought, that does sounds good. So I've done that for 2 years. And it's a true inspiration. I mean, last year we saw the woman who had won first place in 2015, Ariana Nilsson.
Ariana Nilsson, yeah.
Ran the 1 mile with her son, Lars. And I saw them finish the 1 mile holding hands with grins as wide as their faces. And then I watched Lars watch his mom set a record on the course, which he stood waiting for her to come in. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
It's way more than fundraising. It is beyond timing. It's emotional stuff. It's connections between people. And that's what these kind of events create.
Right. That's wonderful. So where do people go to register or to find out about the race?
There's a couple ways to register. Right now, you could go to the event's website. That's ghostlygallop.info. And all the information is there to register right online. It's very smooth, very intuitive. No one has problems with it. You could also go straight to the library, and they would have paper forms at the library if that's what you prefer to do. Or at the library, you could use one of their computers also. If you don't have a computer at home, they'll walk you through how to register it there. Then finally, on the day before the event, we'll be announcing a location where previously registered runners can go and pick up their timing chip and their bib number, and you could register then. And last but not least, you could actually go to the high school in the morning of the event. I try to discourage that because we get a lot of people showing up and long lines create. Last year, we registered 75 people that morning. We did it, but it's much less frustrating for everybody to get organized beforehand.
So what time would registration start on race day?
On race day, I would guess we'll have it open to by about 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock, and the race then would start?
Kids at 11:30.
Kids at 11:30, and yeah, then everything follows after
that's correct.
That.
That's correct.
Well, I have to decide where I'm going to watch the race, so because I'm not a runner or a walker, for that matter.
It is. The people ask us, well, so what's the record time here? I said, the record time, we know what it is. But the real issue is, what's your time? Because serious athletes, because the age is so broad here, the current record are held by people that are in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something you and I are never going to approach. So mm-hmm. what you and I look at is our personal best. What's our time? So if you've never done this, Ellen, and you do it this year, you will set a record for Ellen at the Ghosty Gallop 5K. That record will be recorded at USA Track and Field, and that's your target then, to say, well, my personal best is, whatever it is.
2.5 hours.
That's fine. That's fine. No, that's your record.
But that is not what I was intending to do. I intend to be watcher of the race.
Equally important.
Where is the most fun to watch? I suppose the finish line is a lot of fun.
It is the most fun. And there's always a lot of fans there cheering family members and cheering people on. It is the most fun. An event like this, in many ways, it's hard to be a spectator sport because they leave and then they start coming back in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
You don't see it along the road. But the start-finish, it's inspiring. It'd be good to see you there.
So where exactly is the start-finish line?
At the high school, the start will be up on Harry Howard, straight across from the high school where it says event entrance. It's marked right there.
Right.
Last year we started down in the driveway, but there's so many runners, and it's a little bit of a zigzag to come out onto Harry Howard. So to make it a bit safer at the start, everybody will line up right on Harry Howard. There'll be a starting gun, and they'll head down Harry Howard, and they'll wind their way around behind the middle school, down towards the lake, and then up across to Short Street and back up. When they come back, they will turn left off of Harry Howard and come right down into the school parking lot. So then it's safe for visitors, for spectators, and all the timing equipment, the finish line, are all set up for them there.
Well, I'm excited to go to the race and watch it. And it's on October 22nd.
October 22nd.
I always thought it was closer to Halloween.
It was. It was always a week closer. That's my doing. And
I wondered what the thinking was behind it.
The thinking was that the first couple of years that I was in town, we had substantial snow around Halloween. And I thought by the 22nd, everybody's getting organized with their costumes. Pumpkins are already in the stores now.
Yes.
If we moved it back a week, we were increasing the chances of having a beautiful fall day and not have drizzly cold rain or snow on us. And
good.
So far for the last 2 years, we've had beautiful days.
Right. Wonderful. Well, Debbie.
Yes?
I'm afraid I've been monopolizing here.
Oh,
do you have any
okay.
questions?
Let's see. Do I have any questions? I have the article that was published in the Columbia paper today, and so I see that Dan Ronsani set the record that you had mentioned.
He did.
18 minutes, 8 seconds. That was in 2016. This says that Ariana Nielsen set the record in 2015 that hasn't been broken, I assume, 22:11. Or was that an error in the press release?
So Dan and Ariana ran this race both years that I've been involved. Both years, Dan finished as fastest male finisher, and Ariana finished as fastest female finisher.
But maybe she set a record in 2015 that hasn't been broken, even though she was still the fastest female.
She ran a bit faster in 2015 than she did in 2016. And now I'm not sure which one Dan ran faster. But they both events, they ran
5K,
very close, within seconds of both years' times.
Right, sure. You know,
both of them are at the age to be prime runners. Mm-hmm. You're just in their prime. And they, if you see them, they look like runners. They just are no body fat, lithe, in top shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to stay at these kind of times for a while. Uh-huh. But it requires work. Uh-huh. That's serious business to run a race that fast. And that's one of the things we wanted to bring out. We wanted to see, I wanted the children to see adult competitive athletes as something to look up to.
And how are the kids doing? Are they pretty fast at this point?
I'm proud to say that two of my grandchildren in the 10 to 12 age bracket were medal finishers both years.
Wow. That reminds me, Bob hung a medal around my neck.
Oh, yes.
When he came in the door.
Yeah, Ellen's medal says,
if you had fun, you won.
Oh, that's the whole story.
That's very nice.
Every, in years past, the kids got a T-shirt. And as I thought it through when I got involved, I've had scores and scores of T-shirts from athletic events, and I keep some of them. Some of them I use to clean my bike, and they end up with dust rags. But in the events where I won a medal, I have every one of those medals.
Of course.
And I thought, what could be better than a youngster crossing the finish line? And the way we give the medals out to the youngsters is we'll have four or five high school kids there with the medals. And the moment the youngster crosses the finish line, the medal's priced around their neck.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure these kids will have these medals to show to their kids. That's important to me. It says to a youngster, you accomplished something pretty significant here. And I like that. I like that feeling.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to give that feeling to a youngster. I've had that feeling of finishing an event and standing on a podium. It's good. It inspires you to do more.
Yeah. Well, this is turned into, I say, a major event here in Hudson, seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
That must be because people are having fun.
Yeah.
If you don't have fun, you don't do it.
That's right.
Right. And the prizes are very reasonably priced, I'd like to add. You know, these, as you said, these people don't make a living out of this or get rich. From the Ghostly Gallop prizes.
In my bicycle racing days, you wouldn't believe how hard somebody had worked to get a new pair of cycling socks in a race, you know.
Really?
So I think we'll get a few different people here this year because of the prize money, and it's modest, but, you know, sponsors have stepped up to do that, and it's just a nice addition to the event.
Good.
Do you have any idea what the percentage has been for, I say, out-of-town people, but the people you're saying are runners who probably follow wherever the races are?
Well, we sent information about the event to running clubs from Manhattan to Albany to all the way over towards Boston, well into Connecticut. And then we set the start time late enough in the day that you could actually have a couple-hour journey and get here to do it. When it was starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's not possible anymore.
Right.
It's a good question. I don't have a handle on what the percentage is, but certainly we do get a goodly number of people that then come and spend the day in Hudson.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
So do you know how many people you had in all last year? How many entries?
Both years we had, the first year I believe 285, and I believe last year just a few more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't touch 300, but really close. I hope this year we can go soaring past 300 runners.
Nice. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's always hold your breath, because no one likes to register early.
Oh, no?
Well, some people do. And, you know, now maybe 75 or 80 people have registered early. And as you watch these numbers, you kind of, it catches your breath and saying, how are we going to do here? But the most registration comes in the 15 the days week. Prior to the race.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yes.
They're waiting for something better to come along. I don't know.
No, you know, it's the first step in the race is registering.
Yeah.
And then a significant number wait to see what the weather will be like.
Ah,
yeah, the weather might affect you.
Either way, it's a contribution to the library.
Right.
What we've tried to emulate here, and the people that have worked with us to help get this underway, are the French family that organized Sean's Run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the beginning, when I started this, there were the naysayers that said, we're never going to get a big crowd. They said, Chatham, New York gets 1,600 people to do a 5K. I firmly believe we could do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark French and his wife and his brother have been really big supporters of this. Coming over, Mark's the announcer for the event.
Nice.
They've really kind of held my hand through a couple of years, and now I've worked with Gary to make sure it all runs off smoothly.
So Gary's going to be back in time for the race? I understand.
I think he's actually going to be back tomorrow, but it didn't work out for him to be in town today. He had a business out of the country, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like doing this kind of thing. So,
well,
it was fun
we
to
like
step
having
in.
You here.
Yes, we have Bob Rassner here talking about the Ghostly Gallop in Hudson on October 22nd. So you have time to register.
And tell us one more time how you register.
Go to ghostlygallop.info is the website, ghostlygallop.info. It's very clear there. It'll say register here, click. There's a lot of information about the event, frequently asked questions. It's easy to register there. And the moment you click register, you'll get a confirmation back. If you don't want to use or don't have a computer to use, you can go to the library. You could fill out a paper form there. Or you could use one of their computers. And then finally, the day before, at the place we'll announce to pick up your bib numbers, or a day of the race at the high school.
At where at the high school?
High school on Harry Howard. So we're just...
But where inside the...
There'll be a sign,
events,
Ellen.
At the special events.
There'll be a what? Thing.
A sign.
Oh,
there's big signs. Will there be a big tent
all over
up
the
there.
Place?
Oh, a tent.
A tent.
Oh,
right.
All right.
They've got this taken care of. Yeah. They've got this organized.
I just had a difficulty not registering, but getting a ticket for something else. So I'm very sensitive at the moment to these.
I know how it is.
These systems. Yeah. Some
systems.
Are better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Yours sounds perfect.
I'm sure. But actually, I'd like to go back to another topic, and that's the race T-shirts. I used to run races also. What do you do with all those T-shirts? Because I would like to deaccession them, but each one is kind of a memory of a race.
You know, that's nice. I've seen people make quilts out of them or wall hangings.
Yeah.
And they don't use the whole shirt. They'll clip off the front or
the back
front. That has got the logo for the event.
I guess I should do that.
Because my sport wasn't running, although I've been a runner, it was cycling.
Right.
You don't get as many T-shirts in that. And cyclists generally don't ride in a cotton T-shirt. They wear Lycra clothing to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a few around, but I didn't hang on to them. But they are good mementos. But they take up a lot of space if you're a serious runner.
I have boxes of T-shirts that I should deaccession, but I don't. I mean, cartons.
Nice. It's boxes of memories of accomplishments.
Yeah.
I have...
And what kind of... what? Distances did you run?
I ran 5Ks. Yeah, not more than that. And that was about it. And I would do well in my age group.
Good.
I must tell you, you know, otherwise I was not particularly distinguished, but I did get some medals for coming in well in my age group.
Well, you brought up an interesting point. A couple years ago, I was at a 5K that I ran, and my grandkids were with me, and they ran. Mm-hmm. And they said to me after the race, "Grandpa, you should go over and see if you won a medal." I said, "There's a lot of people here. I'm an old guy. I didn't want to win a medal." No. So they grabbed me by the hand and take me over to the medal bench, and I did happen to win a medal.
Uh-huh.
And the story of that is, the older you get, the smaller the field of the
exactly.
competitors is.
And especially if you're at the bottom of your new age group.
I can tell you've been a racer.
Yeah.
Just,
then you've got
you
a good chance.
If you just turned 75,
exactly.
you're faster than the 78s and the
exactly.
79s.
Exactly. Yeah, you just turned 70 or you just turned 60. Get out there, folks. You have
Absolutely.
A chance
get
at a
there.
Medal.
You've
Absolutely.
Just
yeah.
given away your top secret.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, I was just telling Bob earlier that I'm deaccessioning was exactly what I was saying. My entire T-shirt collection.
Oh my goodness, Ellen.
Well,
I hope you're selling them on eBay.
I'm not sure they're worth it. They're from various things in New York City, tourism mm-hmm. kind of related
I see.
Events.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but and most of them are gigantic.
Uh-huh.
I guess when people order T-shirts or are about to sell and try to figure out what sizes they should buy, it's mostly large, I would think.
Well, it is complex.
There are more large people than small people.
Interestingly enough, the most expensive shirts for a race to hand out are for children.
Uh-huh.
The small sizes are more expensive than the large sizes.
Oh, that's why they get the large sizes.
And so it was another reason that I wasn't too enthusiastic about buying T-shirts for the kids, but when we struck on the metal idea, it's a rich scene to see these kids marching around with their medals in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've often nice. Wondered if anybody of them wear them to school for the next day or two afterwards. They should, yeah. really. They should do that.
Yeah. That is nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
cool.
Bob, thank you so much. We've been talking to Robert Rasner, the person who changed the race a couple of years ago to make it more distinguished and attract more people.
It's my pleasure to be here. It's a fun
Thank
event.
You.
Encourage everybody to turn out. And by the way, registration between now and the end of the month, you'll save $5. The registration
yeah.
fee goes up at the beginning of the month. So get on board for a reasonable entry. And it's a good contribution to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you out there.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. See you there.